is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. Jeff Poore filling in for the legendary Sean Sullivan along with April Murray Fogle of Alabama today. Still to come on the program in the next hour, you want to stay tuned. Congressman Paul Gosar will join us. That's in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk about what's going on in Arizona and some other things. Joining us now, always glad to get this gentleman on. He's very, very gracious with us down here in this Mobile Southwest Alabama audience. Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing fine. Very upset by what is happening to our country, like a lot of American citizens are. But personally, doing very well. How about you?
Hanging in there. We're both hanging in there. I guess first up, let's talk about the election. It looks like some votes are starting to, I mean, they're going into Biden column, and certainly doesn't bode well for Trump right now. Your reaction to what's unfolded the last few days?
It's going to come down to whether Congress will allow illegal votes to sway the election outcome.
You know, what can Congress do to stop anything at this point?
Congress is the body that determines who wins presidential election, not the Supreme Court, Congress. Each of the states will report their electoral college votes to Congress, and if there is a dispute, Congress will determine whether to recognize or not recognize those electoral college votes. It's happened many times in the 1800s, none recently. And I have one major problem with what has transpired that suggests to me that there are lots of illegal votes. Under the United States Constitution, Congress is charged with the responsibility of determining the time of elections. Under the United States Code, Congress decided that elections would be on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So Congress decided that there would be an election day on November 3rd, this past Tuesday. It wasn't an election week. It wasn't an election month. It wasn't an election season. It was an election day. Further, people who are incapable of making it to the polls on election day have the right to do an absentee ballot, provided they have sufficient evidence that they cannot make it to the polls on the election day determined by Congress. So to me, all of these votes that are coming in that were not cast on election day or by an absentee ballot process that allows people who are incapable of voting on election day, all of those votes, all the other votes, are illegal. You've got two votes that are lawful, absentee ballots where you physically cannot attend, and then those votes that were physically cast on election day. And those states who have ignored that part of the United States Constitution and that part of the United States Code are in trouble.
I feel like that's those are important points that have not been talked about. We've seen some judges, what I call activist judges, who have done and said things that are impacting elections in a major way, like saying that your ballot has to be postmarked by election day versus arrived by election day, like we do here in Alabama. We've seen judges get involved in this. Do you feel like any of these are going to go to the Supreme Court? Do you feel strongly that the Supreme Court would rule in the right way to honor the integrity? And then I guess my second question is, when you talk about Congress, how do the Nancy Pelosi's and AOC's of the world weigh into the responsibilities of Congress?
Well, you've given me multiple questions and one introduction.
Let me be real clear,
okay?
Yes.
Under the United States Constitution, the United States Supreme Court has no lawful authority to determine the winner of a presidential race, period, end of subject. It's the United States Congress that does that. Then there would be somewhat of an open debate as to how Congress is to do that. If no candidate gets a majority of the Electoral College votes, then under those circumstances, the United States Constitution, Amendment Number 12, is very clear. The House of Representatives is to vote by states. So there are only 50 votes, not 435. There are 435 congressmen. There are only 50 votes. Each state casts one vote. Under those circumstances, the Republicans hold a majority of the votes, and we determine who the President of the United States is. Somewhat similarly, on the Senate side, they would determine who the Vice President of the United States is. So although Nancy Pelosi has a majority of the votes of the membership of the United States Congress, she does not have a majority of the state votes in the House of Representatives. And so the key fight's going to be which governs. The 50 state rule that is explicitly stated in the United States Constitution, or majority of 435 members of Congress rule.
Got it.
Congressman, no matter what happens, Biden wins, Trump wins, one side's not going to be happy, the other side, maybe it'll feel victorious. I don't know really how to gauge emotions, but I do think there's going to be a real public lack of confidence or even distrust in our election processes. What needs to be done to restore the faith in elections in America?
We need to get socialist Democrats to agree to an election process by which only American citizens vote, only amongst those American citizens, those who are eligible vote, and that we require identification at the polls in order to ensure that the people who say they are voting are on the list of eligible voters. In some states, you don't have to show any kind of identification. You can walk in and vote for anyone you want if you're brazen enough to do it. And it's happened before, it'll happen again, and that taints the election process. Unfortunately, the Socialist Democrats are very good at voter fraud, very adept at stealing elections, and they don't want any safeguards that would help ensure that only eligible United States citizens determine the outcome and the governance of our American governments.
Well, to piggyback on that, I think on the Senate side, Josh Hawley, a United States Senator over there, says maybe we need to look at increasing penalties or just outlawing ballot harvesting altogether, but certainly increasing penalties for election fraud. But my only concern with that would be the federal government's involvement in state elections. You want states to handle those, but is it maybe time for the federal government to consider such measures?
The federal government, under the Constitution, has the right and power to be engaged in elections for president, the House of Representatives, and the United States Senate. States can do what they want, city, county, state level, although typically the laws are the same for all kinds of elections. But with respect to federal elections, we can engage, and we have engaged, unfortunately. One of the worst pieces of legislation is referred to as motor voter that the Democrats helped get through the United States Congress and signed into law. And that makes it illegal for our voter registrars to ask people for proof that they are American citizens, which opens the doors for non-citizens to vote, which, by the way, is exactly what the Socialist Democrats want. They want to open up all of our elections to non-citizens voting, as is evidenced by those cities in which the Socialist Democrats are in total control, and they have made it lawful for non-citizens, both illegal aliens and lawful immigrants, to register to vote and vote. San Francisco being the largest such municipality in America that has taken away governance of their municipality from American citizens and made it more of a world government kind of thing with all these non-citizens participating in their elections. That's where the Socialist Democrats want to take us, and that's wrong.
Go ahead, April.
Okay. My question is, so we've got, when the election results shake out for the presidential elections, refocusing on taking back the House, how do you feel, do you feel any different now that this election has gone through on the will of the American people for to get rid of the Nancy Pelosi's, AOC's power in shaping legislation so that we can get back to the principles of the Constitution and what we want as a small government, fiscally responsible.
Well, I would love for Nancy Pelosi to be fired once again, but it does not look like that's going to happen with this election cycle. Certainly, of the three entities, White House, Senate, and House, as of now, only in the House has the GOP made gains, and we're probably going to make a gain of around 10 seats. So far, we're up by 6. So far, not a single incumbent Republican has lost election, and we've still got a 10 or so, maybe 12 seats that have not yet been declared. No victor has been declared, and we'll see how that plays out, but the current estimate is around 210. So we will not be able to unseat House Speaker Pelosi. They can continue to push their socialist agenda. If they take over the White House, they will have a president that will assist in that pushing. And right now, it looks like there is a reasonable possibility that the Socialist Democrats are even going to steal the United States Senate from us. Keeping in mind that we think we're at 51 or 52 Senate seats, but if they steal those two in Georgia, then we have lost the Senate. If we've also lost the White House, because Kamala Harris as vice president would be the deciding vote, breaking a 50-50 tie, and the Democrats would be in control of all three.
Well, let's elaborate on that. Georgia with a special election in January, potentially for two Senate races. We know at least one with Raphael Warnock and Kelly Loeffler, but perhaps David Perdue and John Ossoff could be on that ballot as well. Do you think Republicans are going to be energized to go show up in January, vote with so much on the line, or do you think there's going to be maybe an element of demoralization here because maybe your vote really doesn't count? You were disenfranchised. You felt like your vote was stolen from you. This election was stolen by as you call it, the Socialist Democrats. I mean, how do you keep spirits up, I guess, on our side?
I am absolutely certain that patriotic Americans will rise to the challenge and they will be motivated to vote like never before. The problem is going to be if the Socialist Democrats are still able to scheme and connive and steal elections by counting illegal votes. Therein is where the problem lies. And I wish there was a magic wand by which we could limit our elections to lawfully cast votes by eligible American citizens. But unfortunately, there are plenty of ways, plenty of workarounds by which the Socialist Democrats have proven that they are capable and very adroit at voter fraud and stealing elections. And I've mentioned this to you before in your audience. Go to the New York Post article that was in early October, late September, where they interviewed a paid professional election theft, and he detailed exactly how he was able to steal votes and get away with it. And that was before the Socialist Democrats did what they did in so many different places around the country that made it even easier for them to steal elections. Most importantly, with these mail-out ballots without any real way of determining who it is that casts those ballots once they're received. I've got an elected official over in Decatur. His son and daughter, they used to live in Georgia. They moved to Texas. They did not cast a ballot in that Georgia election, but someone cast it for them, for both of them. And apparently that's fairly commonplace. And in an election as close as it is in Georgia, that by itself, that kind of practice where you have Socialist Democrats casting ballots for people who have moved out of state, that can tip the balance.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks here, just a couple more minutes. The Republicans did make gains in the House. It doesn't look like you lost a single seat, despite what the polls were telling us in the House of Representatives. It's not control, and or maybe it could be if some things go Republicans' way, but how do you feel sitting here on Friday afternoon about what had happened for the Republicans in the House of Representatives?
I'm very pleased that we exceeded the expectations of 95% of the so-called experts. Internally, our polling data was pretty accurate. We just had a conference call of the GOP conference and went through some of that information in detail. And we knew from our polling data which of these elections were close, where to place our resources, i.e. allocate our money and our volunteers. And it tipped the balance in a good number of them, which is why we ended up gaining at least six so far, but probably in the neighborhood of 10 seats once everything is said and done. So I'm very pleased with the way the polling worked with us. And I'm very pleased that in these districts, once the public was exposed to the public policy issues, that they were able to discern that what we stand for on behalf of America is vastly superior to the damage that's going to be done by the socialist Democrat agenda.
Congressman, we're up against the break. Got to leave it there. But thank you on such short notice for coming on and talking about what's going on. So it's very
my
very
pleasure.
Important.
Y'all take care.
That was Congressman Mo Brooks here on the program. Yeah, it's just, I guess there is a silver lining to the cloud, if you will. The Republicans did better in the House. We got to get a break in here. April Marie and I will return here very shortly. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.